The media meltdown continues over the ousting of the now former president of Harvard. But more importantly, there is a paradigm shift occurring, and a very wealthy and powerful Harvard alumni has just awoken to the fact that he was wrong about supporting DEI. And this is a guy who you want on your side because he's not just the billionaire hedge fund manager. He is considered an activist investor. More on him in a moment. And I do believe this is the first time that the Associated Press has been fact-checked on Twitter. After posting this nonsense article, Harvard president's resignation highlights new conservative weapon against colleges: plagiarism. Well, how dare people expose plagiarists and other frauds? The community note points out, plagiarism is a breach of rules at Harvard University. And Claudine Gay was ultimately forced to resign for a series of breaches of this policy. Yes, 50 of them at least. Plagiarism, or application of the rules around plagiarism, therefore cannot be considered a weapon. But wait, there's more. In the article, which has since been stealth edited, it originally said this, but they changed it after being widely ridiculed in their nonsense-making headlines. It said, Christopher Rufo, a conservative activist who helped orchestrate the effort, celebrated her departure as a win in his campaign against elite institutions of higher education. What they mean is against elite institutions engaging in critical race theory and DEI and anti-whiteism. On X, formerly Twitter, he wrote, "Scalped," as if Gay was a trophy of violence, invoking a gruesome practice taken up by white colonists who sought to eradicate Native Americans. Everyone knows, and there is no disputing it, that it was the Native Americans who invented scalping and were the ones who were engaging in its widespread practice. MSNBC host Ali Velshi says that right-wing culture warriors developed a formula to manipulate soft targets in high education. MSNBC's Joy Reid is taking this especially hard because, as she herself has previously openly admitted, she was recruited by Harvard as an affirmative action applicant in order to diversify the student body.
I do want to just pivot to another thing, because there's another thing happening, Jelani. There is this sort of open war on black progress, black history.
Black privilege, black favoritism, anti-whiteism. Well, yes.
Claudine Gay, the president of Harvard University, at least up until she resigned, is now the latest casualty of that. Christopher Rufo, who is out there touting and, you know, high-fiving and claiming the scalp of Claudine Gay, telegraphed that this was what they were going to do, that they were going to associate these DEI professors of colleges with BLM and decolonization and Hamas in the public mind and get rid of them. He's now claiming victory. He telegraphed that this was the campaign. Why are these elite colleges capitulating to it and essentially making it so uncomfortable for these women leaders that they have to step down to be replaced by white men?
Yes, Joy, Christopher Rufo and countless others were open about their plan because it wasn't some secret conspiracy, it was a campaign.
The thing that really disturbs me is the unrelenting campaign from the right and from some conservative activists to slander, discredit, and ultimately, I guess, somebody used the phrase, we've claimed a scalp, I think, on social media, to essentially unseat Gay and other presidents as well, when they don't like, not just the handling of the horrific attacks on Israel on October 7th, the way that that was handled on campus, but really anything else that they don't like about not just these presidents, but actually what they would call wokeism on campus.
Yes, that is exactly what we're doing. Guilty as charged. But Christopher Rufo, just so you know, and you should know this, and unfortunately nobody else on the right will tell you this, so it takes your trusted independent media analyst, a guy in his kitchen and a laptop, to tell you this. Christopher Rufo refuses to call critical race theory anti-white. He refuses to use the term anti-whiteism. He refuses to capitalize the word white while capitalizing the word black. And I've had numerous back and forths with him both publicly on X, on Twitter, and privately in the DMs about this, and he will not budge. And he is adamant that calling critical race theory anti-whiteism is counterproductive to his agenda. And the reason for this is because he views that as being too pro-white, something he definitely is firmly opposed to. He has denounced white identity politics. He's married to an Asian woman, his children are Asian, and so he views dismantling critical race theory as helping to stop the discrimination against his children and white people, but he doesn't want to focus on the fact that it really is anti-whiteism, but the anti-Asianism is really collateral damage to the core mission of CRT, which is anti-whiteism. I'm serious. He does not capitalize the word white, and not only does not capitalize it, some people maybe just takes a little bit of time to kind of understand these things, especially since the Associated Press has declared that their style guide recommends that you must capitalize the B in black, remember, after the George Floyd riots? And so normal people are capitalizing the word white as well, and noticed that the Associated Press and others, news agencies, are not capitalizing the word white, and then they issued a statement saying that they're not going to do it either. And so he is following the Associated Press style guide, and he himself, a leader in the culture war, refuses to actually capitalize the word white when talking about white people. Someone who is opposed to anti-whiteism and actually uses the term anti-whiteism when describing anti-white racism instead of just calling it racism, because as you know, that word evokes thoughts of white people being bigoted towards non-white people, which is why the more descriptive, accurate term anti-whiteism is needed and should always be used when describing it, is Professor Carol Swain, retired political science professor from Vanderbilt University, whose work, by the way, was stolen by Claudine Gay, the now former president of Harvard University. So the plagiarist, the DEI hire, stole the work from an actual academic and scholar, Carol Swain.
When I was in college 100 years ago, we were told that only white people could be racist, that to be a racist, you had to have power. But now the dictionary, you know, actually has a definition for anti-whiteism, prejudice or discriminating against or hostile towards white people. And I believe that's positive to have a definition, a dictionary definition, because a discrimination can take place against white people. It can take place against any group. During the time that I was in college and while I was teaching, there were whiteness studies, programs that...
All they do is complain about white people. Yes. But while everybody's patting Christopher Rufo on the back, and he did play a big role in this and he does great work, but, you know, he's got some major flaws as well. The real power behind this move, the real force that started it, was billionaire hedge fund manager Bill Ackman, who is a Harvard alumni, and he's the guy who literally started contacting his fellow billionaire Harvard alum and telling them to pull all of their donations to the university until she got fired. And Bill Ackman is Jewish, so he was very upset with her non-defense of the Jewish students at the congressional testimony when she was pressed by Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. And so he is the guy who really got this started, but now he has had a big awakening about diversity, equity, and inclusion. This from CBS News, billionaire Bill Ackman, a ringleader in the effort to oust former Harvard president Claudine Gay, is fixing his sights on another target he says has facilitated racism at universities and in corporate America, diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. I'll read part of his statement that he posted on Twitter about it in just a moment, but you should know that he's not just a rich guy who's a Harvard alum who's posting on Twitter. This is an activist investor. This is a guy who could be like the counterpart to George Soros. This is a guy who uses his money to try to crush companies that he sees as being unethical. There's a whole documentary called Betting on Zero about him doing this or attempting to do this to Herbalife, the sort of multi-level marketing pyramid scheme, weight loss and diet supplement company, and he would have successfully crushed them because they are a shady company. And if you watch the documentary, you'll see they've taken advantage of countless people. And so he leveraged them with a bunch of put options in order to just ruin the stock and bankrupt the company. And he would have done it, except another billionaire, Carl Icahn, who has a personal beef with him, saw what he was doing and knew what he was doing, and just wanted to counter it because he didn't want Bill Ackman to succeed, and then was able to actually make money off of Bill Ackman's failure. But very complicated situation. But if it wasn't for Carl Icahn, who is a total scumbag in this situation, stepping in to save Herbalife, then Bill Ackman would have totally wiped them out. And so now he has a hedge fund. Okay. Hedge funds do the put options and, you know, let's just say manipulate stock in a legal way. And so now he is setting his sights to dismantle DEI. So this is going to be very interesting. He posted this extremely lengthy explanation on Twitter detailing his awakening and some of his plans. Just get a load of how long this is. I'll read you just a couple parts of it about his awakening, where he says that he came to learn that the root cause of anti-Semitism at Harvard was an ideology that had been promulgated on campus, an oppressor-oppressed framework that provided the intellectual bulwark behind the protests, the pro-Hamas protests, helping to generate anti-Israel and anti-Jewish hate speech and harassment. Then I did more research. The more I learned, the more concerned I became, and the more ignorant I realized I had been about DEI, a powerful movement that has not only pervaded Harvard, but the educational system at large. I came to understand that diversity, equity, and inclusion was not what I had naively thought these words meant. He says he went on to learn that DEI was not about diversity in its purest form, but rather DEI was a political advocacy movement on behalf of certain groups that are deemed oppressed under DEI's own methodology. And because what's interesting is, and obvious, that many of these people never cared about all of the anti-whiteism until all of a sudden it spilled over onto Jews. Now that the Jews were lumped in as the white oppressor class, now they're stepping in to try to stop it. But to Bill Ackman's credit, he's not just upset about the anti-Semitism coming from DEI, or the supposed anti-Semitism. Most of it is obviously imaginary, just like the imaginary racism, some racism, but very, very little. But he does say that DEI is racist because reverse racism is racism, even if it is against white people. And it is remarkable that I even have to point this out. Racism against white people has become considered acceptable by many. Not to be racism, or alternatively, it is deemed acceptable racism. While this is, of course, absurd, it has become the prevailing view in many universities around the country. You can say things about white people today in universities, in business, or otherwise, that if you switched the word white to black, the consequences to you would be costly and severe. Maybe it's time somebody introduced Bill Ackman to Stephen Miller, former Trump administration official who was a rock star at the press conferences. I'm sure you remember him, who now heads up the America First Legal Foundation, which has been filing lawsuits against numerous major corporations for their DEI, for their anti-whiteism. In other news, Ray Epps may actually go to prison for a few months because of the sustained pressure campaign on the Department of Justice to actually do something about the guy that the FBI and the entire liberal media industrial complex were protecting, despite him appearing to be a key leader in the mostly peaceful protest at the Capitol on January 6th. Also yesterday, some Epstein court documents were unsealed containing some very interesting revelations about Bill Clinton and Alan Dershowitz and others. A lot of that information has already been out there. This was not the, quote, client list, but it did contain some details about some of the testimony. This was part of a lawsuit by one of his victims, which was sealed, so it contains some testimony from some of the victims and the eyewitnesses, but not the client list, not the extent of his blackmail operation, which was a CIA and Mossad honeypot in order to get leverage over politicians and other wealthy and influential people. That will forever be buried. Of course, I detailed much of this almost a decade ago in 2015, 9 years ago, in my book, The Bohemian Grove, Facts and Fiction, which you should read if you haven't. And while you're over on Amazon, order my new book, The War on Conservatives, in paperback, or download the ebook for any of the major ebook stores. If you like watching my videos, you're really going to love reading my books. So head on over to Amazon.com or click the link in the description below and check them out.